that my dear brother put up a little pot of water for me this morning. He didn't know we were going to speak about a pot of oil. You've often heard the saying, you know, that you never saw a windmill run without wind, did you? You don't see a preacher run without water. At least I do. In 2 Kings chapter 4, and let's have a wee word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, this morning as we bow our head in thy holy presence, we bless and praise thee for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we just look to thee definitely, that thou comest in thy holy presence. Just pray, our Father, the Spirit may take thy precious word and minister to each heart this morning. Thou dost know the problems. Thou dost know the trials. Thou art the only one that's able to bring comfort and to give wisdom to each one of these problems. Others have many other problems. And so we just commit them to thee. We just pray, our Father, that this morning that the Holy Spirit will minister to each heart and refresh us in thyself as we look to thee in that worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what hast thou in the house. And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. May the Lord bless these words to our own hearts this morning as we muse on them together. I dare say this morning you have perused over this portion and you've thrilled your heart on it as well, as you've thought about this woman in her predicament, and yet how the Spirit of God moved on this man of Elisha and upon this woman as well to be able to operate and for God to show his mighty power and his kindness towards this woman, and also bringing out that which was in the woman to his praise and to his glory. There are many things in the life of Elisha and the life of Elijah. I praise God for these men. As I often think about Elisha, you know, as Elijah met him in the field when he was plowing that day, and how the shadow of Elijah fell on Elisha, and there Elisha went to follow Elijah. And some will say, well, what was his service? What did he do to go along with such a man of God like Elijah? We read in one place that he poured water on the hands of Elijah. Poured water. Or refreshment. Refreshment. My, it's nice to have a companion that's a refreshing companion. Like the Apostle Paul had in Onesiphorus, if you recall. You remember how he would say about him, Apostle Paul in prison with chains on his legs. When he could say about Onesiphorus, he said, he oft refreshed me. Oh, then that thrill you. to be able to go into a person's home or shake their hand and you just feel the love of God surging between you. Oh, refresh me. And this is what we need today, beloved. We need refreshment. Who knows the burden of one another's heart? I don't know your burden. You don't know mine. But let me tell you, if we know what it is to be guided and directed by the Spirit of God and enjoying the rich blessings of His Word, and the Spirit of God making them real to my heart, then when I come to you, the Spirit of God will use me in such a way that it might help to lift that burden or ease that trial that's been bogging you down for so long. Oh, to be a refreshing, refreshing Christian. Yes, Elijah, Elisha, they had wonderful things in common, and yet these two men were so different. We take the man of Elijah. He was a man, a rough man. He was a man of the law. A man of the law. And when he spoke dynamically, and he spoke with power. And he spoke this do, so to speak. And he used the hammer, and God used that man mightily. But then we see the man Elisha come on the scene. We see he's a man of love and grace. Here we find the two men. We find John on one hand, and we see the Lord Jesus on the other. John, as he comes through, he says, make the way of the Lord straight. And then we find that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Yes, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Elijah, and then we find that grace and truth came by this man, Elijah. And so we find this morning in our little narrative we have here before us of another little instance in the life of these two marvelous men. And we find that the grace of God being sufficient, pouring through this man of Elijah, to meet the need of this woman that had this tremendous burden. And too, you know, in order to receive a blessing, in order to receive a blessing of the Lord, things in our lives, there are things that you and I can do. The Lord will not do for us that we can do for ourselves in order to bring a blessing. There must be, before there was blessing, there must be a preparation that precedes this blessing. That preparation. There was no oil for this woman, and there no payment overflowing, or no flowing, shall we say, from that pot of oil that she had until other vessels were provided. And then we notice as well, there was no healing to the leper, to the Naaman, until he went down into the water. He knew what he had to do. The man of God told him what he should do. It was necessary that he should be obedient now to the word of God to go and dip, to receive the blessing. And then again, there was no harvest until the ground had to be broken up, as you read in Hosea 10 and 12. He said, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. The ground has to be broken up before the seed is planted and before the dew descends and the rain and causes the grain to grow. Yes, God will do His part, but first of all, you and I have to apply ourselves to Him, apply ourselves to the Word, and then the Spirit of God will supply the abundance. The abundance. And so what we have here, this marvelous man of God, as he comes, the miracles in his life are very striking. The miracles are miracles of grace. Doesn't that make you think of that hymn that goes like this? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is able to cleanse, relieve. Grace, grace, God's grace that is greater than all my need. And so this morning, may the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and winneth that addeth no sorrow that our hearts will be refreshed in the marvelous grace of God. This grace, as we notice this man of Elisha gain, it brought to the poor. It brought the needy. It provided for them. It brought to them. It brought water for the thirsty to refresh them. It brought happiness to those that were childless, and it brought a child into the home. This wonderful grace brought to the broken heart. It bound them up and made them whole again. And to the hungry, it satisfied and healed and fed. And then also, it brought cleansing to the leper. This wonderful grace of God through the man of God. Now then, let's look at this chapter that we have before us. This woman, her husband had been a scholar at the Bible school of Elijah. He had, during the time of Jezebel's reign with Ahab, during the time when she was killing the prophets, he had taken 100 of these prophets and hid them in a cave. And there he satisfied them with bread and water to keep them from starving. During the time that Jezebel was killing the prophets at that time. Now then, we find that in order to feed these men, he had to apparently borrow money someplace along the line to buy the food to satisfy them, and incurring a great debt. During this period, apparently, this man that might have been Obadiah, and it seems to me that it was, he had this debt that he had incurred. He didn't live long enough in order to pay that debt off. So he left the debt, apparently, to his wife and to his family to straighten up his affairs. But this woman, she finds herself destitute for money, and the creditors are come to take her sons as security for this money until the year of Jubilee. Then at the year of Jubilee, the sons would be set free. Just how long from this period the year of Jubilee was, I don't know. It might have been a short period, it might have been longer. I haven't any idea. But anyway, these boys were to go and to be surety and pay the debt for the mother. But we find then that these boys were quite good-sized lads, I believe they would be at this particular time. Boys that would be able to go into slavery. Boys that would be able to do the work that was necessary in order to pay the debt and to satisfy the creditors. Yes, a slavery to these two boys, because their father or their mother could not pay. And do you know, when you and I were born into this world, we were born in slavery as well. We were slaves to sin. Slaves to sin. We belong to the God of this world. We're under the thumb of the devil. And we were under servitude, not only until the year of Jubilee, but until the time when we would draw our last breath, unless something should intervene, that this debt should be paid. And praise God there was. These parents could not pay for their sons. They could not deliver them. They couldn't pay the debt. Neither could anyone else pay the debt that hung over our shoulders. No one could pay the debt. But praise God, for the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, that He could be the propitiation for my sin, and not for mine only, but for the sin of the whole world. Praise God for the one that stood there at the court bar that day. And as I stood condemned before the judge, there was one that stood in front of me and said, I will take his debt. I will pay the debt to the last farthing. So he did. Praise God for Calvary's cross, where the blood was shed, where Jesus died. And then when my eyes were opened, I beheld the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. Always praise God for one that was able to come into the world, able to pay the debt, and satisfy the creditor, satisfy God's throne, and two, make you and I, under sovereign grace, bring us into the place of rich blessing in the family of God. We thank God for this. Yes, this woman, as she looked at her debt, it was tremendous to think that she was going to be bereft of her sons as well. An unbelief cried, all these things are against me. What am I going to do? They're all against me. But then there was a still small voice that whispered as well. Faith quietly said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For we know. Positive assurance. For we know. All things are going to work together. But beloved, listen. As I say again, we must apply ourselves to the will and the mind and the word of God so that God might supply that which is necessary in order to fill up that which is lacking in our lives of the person of Christ. He wants to fill up the life with himself. Yet she had a responsibility toward those boys. Tremendous responsibility. This is their flesh and blood. She didn't. Truly, no one wants to see their children go into servitude. They do not want to see their children under bondage. It's true. And men and women today, Christian parents, you don't want to see your children continue in servitude. You don't want to see your children still under the bondage of sin. But my, isn't it strange how that in some of our families, the parents have known the Lord, so faithful to the Lord so many years. And so many, like in our families, we've prayed for them, but still today they still do not know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. I know it's enough to break your heart. It is. But beloved, keep on praying. Keep on praying. I know of a dear soul, Mrs. Revel, in Orillia, Ontario. She was a wonderful friend of Harold Harper's. In fact, she was one of his outstanding prayer partners. And Harold, even to the day of his death, he was able to say that it was through Mrs. Revel of Orillia, Ontario, that saved those souls by the sovereign grace of God through me. That's what he said about her. Mrs. Revel had a husband. He was unsaved for years. He didn't know Christ when they were saved. She was saved after they were married. And you know, she said, she told us, she says, you know, I prayed for 35 years for my husband, that he would come to know Christ, his own personal Savior. And do you know, 2 weeks before that man died, he trusted the Lord as his Savior. She said, I knew that God was going to save that man. For 35 years, she did not waver. She kept on praying. And she believed God. And he was saved just before he died. Yes, it wasn't a life to live for Christ. It wasn't a life to be able to go forth and tell about the Lord. But praise God, he moved in and saved his soul. Praise the Lord for his sovereign grace in bringing salvation to him. Yes, the Apostle Paul said, he said, I am a debtor as well. He said, I'm a debtor to the Greek, to the barbarian. I'm a debtor to the Jew. He said, as I look upon the scene, he said, I just don't know how I'm going to pay the debt. But he says, I am willing to lay myself upon the altar that God might be able to use me to help to dispose of this debt by his Holy Spirit through me. Let's look at this woman again. This woman has cried unto the man of God. She cried unto the man of God. Oh, my, I tell you, you have problems. You have troubles. There's nothing that thrills your heart or comforts your heart more than to be able to go to a man or woman of God. That's right. To have partnership. Prayer partners. To be able to come into their home and sit down. Now listen, this has happened within my womb. And oh, I would just ask you that you'll come and pray. This is not for publication. This is something that we might join together. If two of you should agree, God said, and here we find you have a prayer partner, and you present your problem, And then both of you get down on your knees and you pray about it. Oh, it's a thrill to be able to come to a man, a woman of God. Share your problem and to be able to pray through. Get a prayer partner. It's very important in the things of God. She sought the aid of the man of God. And then she presented her case before him. She told about her husband. She told about the debt and told how that her sons were going to have to go into servitude. She was burdened. And you know, Mrs. John Wesley, we're told that she had 19 children. What a family. 19 children. But do you know, Mrs. John Wesley, every week she had time to take one child at a time, 1 hour of the week she spent with each child over the Word of God behind a closed door. Let me ask you, Mom and Dad, I know we're much older here this morning, a number of us, but others have children. Listen, how much time do you spend with your children over the Word of God? 19 children. She found time through the week that she could spend 1 hour with each child over the Word and pray. Oh, the family altar needs to be restored again. The time for parents to sit down with their children and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is so necessary. So necessary. All right, she comes to the man of God. She presented her case to him. And then Elisha, as he looked at her, Elisha didn't say to her, "Your problem is impossible." He didn't say that. Neither did he provide money or a daily fee to help pay off the creditors or try and keep them quiet day by day. He didn't say that either. He didn't promise that he was going to do this. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you read this. Paul said, "As poor and yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing all things, beloved, within yourself, the Spirit of God has placed something here that you can share with us." And to help to lift that burden. Now then, he comes to her very pointedly and he said to her, "What hast thou in the house? What have you got at home?" Well, sir, she looked at the man of God and she said, "I haven't anything at home. I haven't anything in my house. All that I have is a cruse of oil. And it's been sitting up on the shelf for some time for a rainy day. All I have is a cruse of oil." First of all, we notice that the man of God took into account, first of all, what she had. And that was a cruse of oil. An earthen cruse of oil. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 reads like this. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency and the power of God might, the excellency of power may be of God and not of us." Dear child of God, you often despair. You say, "What can I do? What can I do? What have you got in the house? What have you got in the house?" This woman had a pot of oil, so have you. A pot of oil. You've had it up on the shelf for some time for a rainy day. This is the rainy day. This is when you need it today. God wants to use that pot of oil. If there was ever a time when the children of God within them should be a river of water springing up, running over. Hearts are shriveling. Souls are crying for the love of God. And you and I, we withhold that pot of oil on the shelf for a rainy day. You recall the monies that were given to the men to take and to invest while the good man of the house was away. He came back to that one had 10, that one had 5. They had doubled their money. But the man that only had 1, he put it up on the shelf. He wrapped it all up carefully. And he put it away for the time being. You know what the Lord said? Take it away from. Take it away from. Give it to the man that has 10. Give it to the man that has 10. He's put it up there. Listen, that vessel that lies within you, God holds you responsible. That vessel contains the Holy Spirit of God. Just what it means, the oil in the vessel, the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit came to dwell within you the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And God holds you responsible to take that which He has committed to you, that gift, and under the Spirit of God, to take it and use it. And one of these days He's going to require at your hand that gift and that usury of that gift. As you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, are we going to be able to say, Lord, I know You only gave me a little gift, you know, and I really took care of it. I wrapped it up and I put it up on the shelf, and here it is. Here it is. He says, yes, there's the gift, all right. But what about the usury? What about the interest? We hear about tears in heaven. Yes, there's going to be tears in the judgment seat of Christ. There are. There's going to be tears. Why? Because we just have the gift, but no usury. Only leaves. Only leaves. What is thou in the house? Not in your pocket, but that which is in the heart. That's what God wants. He wants to take the heart and He wants to use it to His glory. He wants to draw on that which He's given you for His praise and glory. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of Jesus, of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what He wants. Christ living in you and living through you to the praise of His glory, radiating His Son. Yes, He gave her oil enough in the vessel to discharge the debt and enough over for them to live abundantly. And you and I have the same supply. But the thing is, what are we going to do with it? All right, He says, now here's the remedy. I want you to do this. I want you to go and borrow vessels. Not a few. The strangest possession, the strangest thing you ever saw in your life. Here the boys were, they went around the village, the immediate village where they were. And they locked on doors of strangers as they went around the village. I say, ma'am, have you any extra vessels or pots that you had? And they would give them to them. And here comes the boys down the street with their arms filled with these vessels and these pots. And they bring them home. And they take them in the room. And they go the next way. And they gather pots there around the room. And in that little room, what are they supposed to do? Is to shut both of you and your sons inside. Rather strange sight, is it not? There in that room, all of these empty pots placed around there. Two boys that were going into servitude and a mother in that room. Rather strange to me. But then, and that woman, as she looked around, what could she see that day? All she saw was a small vessel of oil. She saw a number of empty pitchers or vessels, and she saw two orphan boys. And you look, go back to Zarephath. What do we find there? You remember how that Elijah went to Zarephath, and there as he went there, he saw a woman gathering a couple of sticks. And he said, would you mind bringing me a drink? He says, yes, I'll bring you a drink. And she goes, he bring you a drink. And she calls him again. What she said? He says, make me a little cake too along with it, will you? I'm awful hungry. Bring me a little cake. No, sir. She said, I'm out gathering two sticks. And she said, I just have enough meal and enough oil in the cruise to make a little cake for me and my boy. And when we eat it, we're going to die. What an outlook. What an outlook. A little oil and a fruit, just a little bun, and that's all. Nevertheless, he says, make me a little cake first. She made him a cake, and you know what happened. The meal didn't run out. Neither did the cruse of oil. Beloved, if you're going to yield to the Lord, He's going to see that you've got abundance. Yes, he is. And so we find here, as she offers it to him, she could only see that those boys and those empty pots. And as she stood around there, and then again said, "Shut the door. Shut the door." Matthew 6 and 6, what does it say? "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou enter into thy closet, shut to the door. And when thou shut to the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Oh, I tell you, here's the secret. She had the empty pots. She had her boys. And she laid hold upon God. Yes, she did. She laid hold upon God. She took the vessel. She believed God's word. She believed the man of God. And there she took the vessel in her hand and she went around to each one of those pots. And she filled every one of those pots. And she said, "Son, is there another pot? Is there any other vessel to take a little bit more oil? A little bit more here?" I said, "Mom, there isn't any more." I said, "The oil stayed." What's the lesson? I believe these empty pots represented empty hearts around that, the village block or the city block where they lived. Empty hearts. Men and women that knew not Christ as their personal Savior. Empty lives. And there she took them into that room, as it were, and made them her own burden. Laid hold upon God. Took what God had given her, the little cruse of oil. And to each one of those lives she took and she poured, as it were, the love of God. Yes, she did. That transformed lives. And those vessels that were filled, she set them aside. Sanctified for the master's use. A man, he had come to the farm. A real estate had sold him a home in the city. And he said to the real estate man, he says, "Now listen, sir." He said, "I've been out here for a number of years." And he said, "When I bought this farm," he said, "I commit my farm to the Lord." And he said, "I claim this section," whether it was a mile and a half square, whatever the case may be, "I claim this section for God." And there were a number of people moved, living around that had farms around that square. Now then, the years that he'd been there, he had the privilege of going each one of these homes, and there wasn't anyone around that square that knew not Jesus Christ as their own Savior. He claimed that section for God, and God blessed it marvelously. Now then, he said, "You've sold me a place for the city." He said, "Is there anything wrong for me claiming this block for the Lord?" "Nothing wrong at all," he said, "nothing wrong." So that's what he did. When he went, moved into the city, left the farm, he claimed the block for God. And there in 2 years' time, one side of that block had come to know Christ as their own Savior. Why? Because he took that which God had given him and used it for his glory. He claimed it for God. Oh, beloved child of God this morning, yes, your gift may be small. And maybe you feel, "Well, I only have a little cruse of oil." But listen, God wants you and I, as we go to Romans 12. "I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body to living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that is your reasonable service. And allow him to fill it up. And you take it and lay it on the altar for him. Claim the block for God. I mean, marvelously." What happened? We notice the vessels were all filled. And she comes, the man of God, down. She says, "I have the vessels are all filled. What am I going to do?" He says, "What I want you to do now, you just take it and sell the oil. Pay your debt off." And she did that. She had some over. Now he says, "Live on the rest." Live on the rest. Oh, the bounties of God's marvelous, wonderful. Thank God you and I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Abundance in Him. But what God wants, first of all, dear child of God,
He wants you to be willing to submit what you have. Don't you take that little vessel. Don't you take that little gift that he has given you and wrap it up in a napkin. God holds you responsible.
Yes, sir.
This man that I tell you about that claimed the block for God, he wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a man that stood on the platform proclaiming the word of God. A wonderful man? No, he's only a farmer, an ordinary man. But God used him.
God used him.
And God used you this morning. But all he wants you to do is to apply yourself to the word of God and to the Holy Spirit, and he will supply that which is necessary to make your life a blessing. Shall we pray? Father, we bless and praise thee for the abundance of thy marvelous grace. We thank thee for thy Son, Jesus Christ, that has made salvation possible and brought thine own beloved people into rich blessing. There are in Christ blessings, Lord, that maketh rich. And with it he addeth no sorrow. Oh God, we pray that each day of our lives, each one of us, that we might know, our Father, what it is of walking hand in hand with thee and submitting our lives, the gift which thou hast given us, so that thou might be able to use it abundantly to thy praise and glory. Lord, we commit each dear one to thee this morning. We thank thee for them. And thou dost know, Lord, whether each one of us are using our talent. Thou dost know whether we've been busy for thee or not. But Lord, we ask of thee that together this morning we may with a determination to claim the block for the area where we live for Jesus Christ and be willing to give ourselves to thee and allow the Spirit to work through us to his praise and glory. Commit ourselves to thee this morning in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.